Welcome to the OC Podcast, a series run and presented by the team at outdoorceremonies.co.uk. I'm Sophie Easton and I'm the founder of Outdoor Ceremonies Limited. We are passionate about all things ceremony, celebrating life, love and nature. So this podcast is for anyone planning an outdoor ceremony and for those who work in the wonderful world of outdoor events. We hope you'll find something to inspire your own ceremony or business. And if you're planning an event, be sure to visit outdoorceremonies.co.uk to browse a whole range of venues, celebrants and suppliers.
Hello and welcome back to the OC Podcast. And today we are continuing with our mini-series, The Ultimate Guide to Blank Canvas Weddings, which is aimed at couples who are planning a completely personalised and self-designed outdoor wedding. So in this mini-series, we're covering a range of topics to help you plan, budget and personalise every aspect of your day. And joining me for this once again is our expert in the field, Carrie-Anne Levitt of Bespoke Events Management and Littleton Manor Farm in Surrey. So hi, Carrie-Anne, thank you for joining us again.
Hello, Sophie. A pleasure as always.
So this is now our fourth episode, 4 of 6, and we are now moving on to talk about suppliers and how to choose the right suppliers for your blank canvas wedding. And there's likely to be lots and lots of different suppliers that you'll want to be working with. And events like this really are a team effort. So it is important, I think, to work with people that you trust to do a great job on the day. And as part of this, we're also going to be talking a little bit about making eco-friendly choices when choosing suppliers, as I know that's really important to a lot of couples. So, Carrie-Anne, what would you suggest couples do as a first step when thinking about choosing their suppliers?
So we say to all of our couples, as a first step, what really, really helps is to think about what your priorities are when it comes to your big day. And that might be things like the aesthetic. So some people, you know, some couples might say, I've always dreamt of a lakeside setting with a beautiful, elegant white marquee. And so if that was the case, we would probably start with that piece and then build the event around it. For other people, it might be entertainment is really key, or perhaps the duration of their event. And what I mean by that is if they want to make a weekend of it, so a festival style wedding where you maybe have some kind of pre-drinks celebration the night before, then you have your wedding, and then perhaps a little bit of a hangover brunch the day after the wedding. For some people, food and drink might be super important. So the first step we say is identify what is for both of you the most important start of your day, and then we kind of make sure that we are suggesting and recommending suppliers that are in line with your budget. Mm-hmm. And then we've touched on before how overwhelming it can sometimes be when you are planning an outdoor wedding from scratch, because mm-hmm. there is so much choice. But what we really do is we try to support our couples and we help them draw up a budget sheet. And then we would make suggestions on potential suppliers that align with their vision and their budget to help shape their wedding day in line with both of those things, and not the other way around, which mm-hmm. can sometimes be the case if you go to a more traditional venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really good place to start, I think, isn't it? Just by putting that all down somewhere in a spreadsheet or in writing, who you want to be working with based on the vision that you've got for your day.
Yeah.
So once you have that clear idea of the things that you need to source, how should couples go about researching suppliers and making sure they're choosing the right ones?
So we would always suggest, personal recommendation is, you know, I think as in everything in life, it's worth absolute gold. We both as a venue and as an event management company can make suggestions on suppliers that we've worked with. I think one of the benefits probably from getting a recommendation for people in the industry that are used to working with suppliers all the time is that they are working with us at those suppliers all of the time. It's repeat business. So therefore, you know, a lot of the time we are aligned on our values. We know that they've got, you know, good communication and the quality of what they are providing along with service you're kind of, you know, guaranteed a good delivery on the day. As I said before, personal recommendations from friends, family, or maybe perhaps you find a new supplier online who you think sounds, you know, sounds really good. You really like the vibe of what they're doing. You can always ask to speak to previous clients that they've worked with. And also, you know, that kind of credibility piece as well. So, you know, we all know how powerful Google is. So check out Google reviews. Yes. There are lots of other kind of wedding listing websites as well. So kind of see where they're advertising. And just to make sure that what you are buying into, they're going to deliver on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think looking at reviews is something that we've become really accustomed to, isn't it? Whenever we choose anything, especially if we're buying something online, we like to look at the reviews and see what other people are saying about them. I think that kind of word of mouth recommendation is really, really important.
Yes.
I suppose open days is another thing couples can do to go and find their suppliers and actually get to meet the person that is behind the company.
Yes.
I think that's and you hold open days at your venue.
We do. That has actually worked really, really well. Like you said, going to meet the face, you know, behind the company, hear about their story, see for her, you know, firsthand what they are like to deal with, their ideas. They may also, you know, be able to talk to you about other services or products that they provide that you might not be aware of as well. Also, open days are great for inspiration. We meet lots of couples who I think perhaps get inspiration. Well, Pinterest is obviously a really, really big one, or perhaps from other venues and other weddings that they've been to before. Open days are absolute gold for going to find new supplies.
And I think they're really important for outdoor weddings as well, aren't they? Especially if you're going to be in a field or something and you can't really visualise what your day is going to look like. You get to see teepees set up and all sorts of things, venue dressing.
Yes, exactly. It's very, very hard, I think, sometimes to be able to try and bring a blank canvas venue to life, unless you have kind of, you know, walked around it, seen things, or been to an open day and actually see how the space can be used.
Absolutely. We talked about that, didn't we, in was it episode 1 or 2? I can't remember, but we talked about I think it was episode 1. We were talking about choosing your venue and how you can kind of get that inspiration for what your day is going to look like if you're literally just going to an empty field. Open days are great for that. Okay, so let's talk a bit about sustainability. Now, we did touch on this in the last podcast that we did. We're going to talk a bit more about eco-friendly suppliers and what kinds of questions you would want to ask suppliers that you're talking to check out their green credentials. So what would you advise on that?
So I guess from the perspective of a lot of suppliers that we work with, there are the obvious ones, you know, especially if you're kind of looking at, you know, food and beverage, whether, you know, they recycle. I think most people nowadays do recycle. Things like food waste, you know, what are the options for what you can do with that afterwards? Obviously there's things like food banks, there's the Trussell Trust, even things like wormeries as well. You can take leftover food that perhaps is not suitable, you know, to pass on for consumption. So that's a really, you know, a really nice thing that you can do, knowing that anything's left over is actually going to a good cause for a reason. I guess, you know, we're huge, huge advocates of using local suppliers as well. The transportation, you know, helping to cut down on that carbon footprint. And typically, you know, local suppliers also like to source locally as well. It is kind of, you know, it's a holistic approach that if, you know, they like to work with other companies that are close by. Stationery is another really good one. We work with a lot of companies that recycle, that use recyclable, you know, like paper or like invites or table menu cards that have seeds in them so you can actually plant, which I think is a really lovely kind of nice narrative for, you know, almost the I suppose, kind of like the story of the couple and their relationship, you know, starting as a seed and then you plant it and it grows into a tree or a plant or whatever. Yeah. It's really lovely. Yeah. There are also other things that you can do to help evaluate suppliers based on their kind of, you know, sustainability credentials. It's quite amazing, actually, how much you can find out online. So things like, you know, company information, you can, you know, find out things about the suppliers' environmental policies and practices, things like their mission statements, corporate social responsibility, all things like that. Accreditation. So there are some kind of bodies out there. Sometimes there's crossover between more kind of like corporate event suppliers and weddings. But there are companies out there like Isla who help to kind of track how, you know, how sustainable your event is.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like product labeling. So we, you know, sometimes if we're providing goodie bags or little gifts at events, you know, sourcing organic, local, and checking the labels of those or on the websites of those suppliers. And yeah, customer testimonials, asking to speak to other people, trying to get that credibility from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think that's where sort of meeting the person behind the company really comes in handy as well, doesn't it? Because you can ask those questions to the person and see, do they actually really care about this stuff? It's not just a box ticking exercise, but they actually do care and want to make a difference.
Exactly that. And I learned a new phrase the other day. There is something called greenwashing, which apparently means if somebody, you know, if a company or a person claims that they are doing all of these things to be more eco-responsible or sustainable, but actually not putting that into practice.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of companies out there that are doing that, sadly. But you're right, by talking firsthand to people, and actually you get a pretty good handle on whether they are, you know, walking the walk, so to speak.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the Sustainable Wedding Alliance as well. So there are quite a lot of wedding suppliers who have signed up to that, you know, not just that they can get their green tick, but so that they can learn how to adapt their practices to make them more eco-friendly.
Absolutely. And it is, you know, it's a hugely, you know, changing landscape all the time with new initiatives and ideas coming into practice. And I think the, you know, the wedding industry and the events industry as a whole are all becoming a lot more aware of how we need to work together to get, you know, make sure that there are industry standards. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a case of, you know, some companies doing it and some companies aren't. Like, we really do all need to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose as well, in terms of picking your suppliers, there are plenty of suppliers out there that give more than one service. And that can actually save on your carbon footprint as well, because you're not doubling things like the transportation and various other things that might be involved in having two different suppliers for two different services, when you could pick one that does both of those things.
Yes, exactly that. There are a lot more, especially the marquee companies we work with as well. I know the brilliant team at My TP Event have now just launched My Pizza Event and My Bar Event. So effective. And I think maybe somewhere on the horizon there might be glamping. That will be another offering, because again, it's things that, you know, people want at a lot of outdoor weddings. And you're right, if it is a one-stop shop where people can tag on these extra services, 100%.
And it saves hassle as well, doesn't it? If you've got one contact for, say, five different services, that saves a lot of hassle in terms of admin.
Absolutely.
Okay, that all sounds really good. So then, in terms of how it all comes together on the day, so you've maybe picked 10 different suppliers, they all need to come together on the day at your venue, set everything up. Obviously, you're a real expert at wedding coordination on the day. So what would you say are your top tips for ensuring that all those suppliers work together seamlessly?
So my top tips would be, I mean, number one, personally, I would say ask an expert. There are lots of companies out there, not just our company, but other kind of wedding planners and event management businesses that offer kind of different packages in terms of helping to plan your wedding, from full wedding planning, where they do absolutely everything from supplier sourcing to negotiation to even managing your invites. down to very kind of light touch, where it might just be a few weeks before the wedding, kind of getting all the contact details together and putting it into a run sheet. For those of you who don't know what a run sheet, it's basically like a master document with everybody's details and all the timings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we do this kind of day in, day out, every day, so we have a really good feel, no matter kind of what wedding you're having, but of realistic timings and flow of the day. Mm. I think a lot of people are very, very optimistic when it comes to doing their timings. Things always take much longer than you think. Mm. And I think perhaps if you don't have a little bit of an expert view, glance over your timings, there can be some tiny little things that can happen on the day that could actually have quite a detrimental big impact. Mm. It might be things like photographer wants to take the couple off, you know, to capture that beautiful golden light moment. But actually, you know, the kitchen have been prepped, or the catering team have been prepped, that, you know, food is going to be put down on the tables in 5 minutes. Mm. And all of the champagne has been poured. So even just if it's a hot day, even just, you know, a little kind of delay of 10, 15 minutes can suddenly mean you're drinking flat, warm champagne, which obviously after spending all that money on it would be such a shame.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's that old kind of adage, isn't there, of too many cooks spoil the broth. And I think having one person that is in charge of setting the timings for the day. So when we do our run sheets, even when we do kind of very light touch wedding planning, make sure all the timings, all of the contact details are in there for all of the suppliers. So everybody knows and they have to agree and return by email, I've read this, I understand it, I've got no questions or issues. Mm. That they know what time they're coming to the venue, they know where the venue is, they know who to contact if they're running late, they know what they're bringing, they know what they, you know, what services they're providing. Mm. The number of times, it sounds so silly, but the number of times we've got very, very close to a wedding and we, you know, the caterer might turn around and go, where's the catering tent? And the couple kind of look and go, you didn't ask for a catering tent. And the, you know, the kind of catering person's looking back around and going, but of course I need a catering tent. Now, obviously, we know they need a catering tent. So it's little things like that, because we're used to seeing it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd say if you can, ask an expert. There are also lots of free resources out on the internet. That's actually something we're looking to implement soon as well, is kind of share our knowledge. We obviously are really, really passionate about helping couples get most value from their budget and really want them to feel supported and guided on their, you know, planning their wedding. So we're looking at launching some kind of free resources that we can share with people. Run sheet, I would say, is your Bible. Another thing, and I know, I think I mentioned this last time, is staffing as well. To make sure that all of your suppliers work together seamlessly on the night is having enough staff. Just to make sure that, you know, things are being cleared, tidied, replenished, everybody knows what's going on. They would be my three top tips.
Amazing. What brilliant top tips. And sounds really, really great, the resources that you're putting together as well, the timesheets and things to help couples. I think that will really help people out to have that in place. So yes, everybody watch this space. And next time, we are going to be talking about the rain. So we're going to be talking about plan B. Everyone's dreaming of a sunny outdoor wedding, I'm sure, but you never know if the heavens are going to open. So what's your plan B? So we're going to talk a bit more about that next time. But for now, Carrie-Anne, thank you very much indeed. Nice Wonderful. To see you.
Yeah, you too, Sophie. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what you hear, please do subscribe to the OC podcast and stay tuned for lots more outdoor ceremony advice and inspiration.